President Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this September the 21st on the west coast of the United States, now September the 22nd on the east coast and in the central time zones. We'd also like to welcome anyone who's listening either live or on a delayed broadcast on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on blogtalkradio.com. Lots going on, and we're going to touch upon many important topics tonight with our guest. He started his own show again, this time on Republic Broadcasting Network. He's appeared over the past couple of months sporadically, filling in for Barbara Jean's Born on the 4th of July on Republic Broadcasting Network. And he began his own show filling in for her now. I hear she's on a sabbatical. I don't know when she plans to come back, but the show is called The Story Behind the Story, heard Monday through Friday on Republic Broadcasting Network from 1 to 3 p.m., and that is Central Daylight Time, soon to be Central Standard Time. Anyway, Central Time, we'll leave it at that. We have been discussing on past shows with tonight's guest the issue of the bird flu, swine flu pandemic, and all of the hidden little mysteries behind who's who and what's being done about it and why are we facing this and what is the intention of those that have created this monstrous evil that they're about to unleash upon humanity. And we're not intending to fearmonger. We're just dealing with facts. So we encourage you to do your own research. Take what we say with a grain of salt or a teaspoon of sugar, whatever your preference is, preferably not refined white sugar. And do a little homework, and you'll see that much of what we're going to be talking about makes a lot of sense. Our guest tonight is Dr. A. True Ott, and we welcome him back to Evident Footprints. True, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Don. It's a pleasure to be with you again.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you back. You and I and some of our friends have experienced a great loss very recently. The publisher, co-editor of the Idaho Observer, my good friend Don Harkins, husband of Ingrid Castle Harkins, passed away Saturday morning. And we're all quite upset about it, and it appears that foul play is likely. I just want to let the listening audience know that we appreciate everyone's prayers and kind thoughts, and that if anyone would like to help Ingrid with a massive hospital bill that she's been left with as a result of trying to tackle this problem of a rare form of leukemia that Don seemed to have contracted in a very short amount of time and took its toll on him in a very short amount of time. I've got the address of the Idaho Observer published on my website in a memorial piece that I wrote for Don. And certainly you can go to my sponsors page. All the information for the Idaho Observer is there. Ingrid desperately needs help paying this bill. It's very large. It's very unfair, particularly with the outcome of what happened. But more than that, it's not about the money, really. It's about the loss of a fine American, a fine journalist, a person who was definitely a truth seeker and brought a lot of light into people's lives. And I know that you've had a relationship with Don and Ingrid, and if you don't mind sharing how you feel about his passing and what you think we can do to assist Ingrid, I would appreciate it. I'm sure some of our listeners would.
Well, yes, it's a shock for everybody that has grown to know and love Don, and you know, it's just to see it happen so quickly and so fast, you just have to wonder how in the world it could possibly be. And talking with Ingrid, there's some real unanswered questions on what went on there. Of course, the leukemia itself is, if you do the research, it's kind of tied to some experimental type of mycoplasms. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the things that it's very difficult to prove. It's definitely in the realm of the theories, you know, of what the shadow government is capable of doing. But boy, I'll tell you, there's evidence that such things are very possible and likely done in the way of assassination. You know, it's just a crying shame that somebody that had the talent and ability that Don would not have been targeted. Again, what can you say? You know, you can have absolute evidence and show even, you know, photographs of what occurred, and yet there are not many courts that would ever convict on anything like that. So,
well, I trust in time that we'll be able to maybe get to the bottom of it. These things do take time, and of course, no one really feels like even pursuing that right now. You know, we're all going through our own individual grieving process, and you know, I feel very cheated personally because I never got to meet Don in person, and yet I've worked with him for some 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And
he had the highest of praise for you, Don, and we had discussions about you and some of the things that you're doing, and of course it's really. He was very excited when he would call and tell me your latest breakthroughs here and there. And he was a big fan of your research, I got to tell you that. So, yeah, it's a tough way to lose a friend.
Yes, it is. Well, you know, we want to continue extending our prayers to Ingrid, as I mentioned, and I want to encourage anyone that, again, would like to help her. You know, I understand the hospital bill is about $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a massive amount of money to end up with the outcome that we have.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, if there were 100 people giving $1,000, that would take care of it, or 1,000 people giving $100. Mm-hmm. Certainly, we should be able to raise this money through a concerted effort. She's not asking anyone to help, but certainly she doesn't want anyone to send flowers. Don has mentioned that, you know, the whole concept of giving flowers is sort of, you know, destroying nature, to make a gift of something, you know, that is beautiful, but has lost its life. And, he's more of a preservationist.
Oh, absolutely.
In how he operated. I mean, everything was preserving the Constitution, preserving the truth, preserving one's health, one's relationships, and the creative path to freedom. And so, the people out there that didn't know him but may have read his work can rest assured that he was everything that he was as a journalist, everything he was as a publisher and editor. And I give him a lot of credit for helping me connect the dots in a journalistic way, because a lot of the research I've done is very, very difficult and very time consuming. And it can be laid out in an understandable fashion. It's always going to be difficult just because of the nature and how these things are couched in deceit and lies and deception. So,
well, like you said, Don was opening a lot of doors for a lot of people, with, just the information and the talent he had to present it. And, something like that, of course, gets under the skin of people that are in power. Obviously, they didn't want to see it continue in the way it was going. And so, there's a lot of reasons why, but there's also a lot more reasons why it needs to continue and carry on. And you know, Ingra is a fighter, and she's one that will, I think, keep the memory alive and the heritage by keeping on with the Observer. And nobody will be able to replace Don and his talent for writing and following the story through, but she'll do her best.
Yes. Now, she's very active in Vaccination Liberation Organization, and from talking to her over the weekend, and we had some very, very deep discussions. You know, she feels partially responsible for the outcome here, and I assured her that in no way should she even think that. No one's going to blame her. You just search for answers, and she is that type of person. She gets to the bottom of everything,
right.
And she will remain devoted to VacLib, and she's probably going to ramp it up a few notches in light of what's occurred. So,
right.
And
yeah,
we'll all be there.
That type of leukemia is definitely caused by some form of deep radiation, and that type of leukemia is more prevalent in places like Chernobyl. People that died, a lot of people that died around the Hiroshima and Nagasaki Ground Zero, all died of this type of leukemia. And so, you know, there's just questions. I'm right now, I'm up in this neck of the woods, you know, and it's just so beautiful and pristine and just natural that I just don't see how he could have contracted this naturally. I just don't see that.
No. And I'm in agreement with you. From the time I heard that he was ill, and this was early on, I knew inside something more sinister was behind this.
Right.
It wasn't like him. He was vibrant. He was doing lots of work. You know, he would go out and chop wood. He was working on the house, doing various chores around there, and he had boundless energy.
Right.
You know,
sure.
That was actually how he revitalized himself. You know, staying in the newspaper office, fielding calls, writing, editing, researching. There's a lot that people take for granted. You know, I've heard several people, Chris Hinckley, tonight on his show on RBN was talking about how, you know, it's going to take 10 people to replace the work that Don did as
at
one
least.
Man.
At least.
You know, and to be struck down so rapidly and to have this progress so rapidly is definitely not a natural progression.
No, I don't think it was at all.
Yes. Well, congratulations on your show. I got to listen to your broadcast today while I was doing some my own research, and I had trouble concentrating on what I was doing because I was paying more attention to what you were doing. So,
we've got a lot of stories to tell. Again, the radio show is called The Story Behind the Story. I also have an hour on Jeff Rentz's new network, rents.com. And so whatever we talk about on RBN, we just extend out as well on Rents. So we'd like to invite anybody that's interested in the story behind the story to tune in.
Yes. Now, what? How many nights a week, or is it just one night a week that you're on with Jeff? Or
no, it's 5 nights a week. It's Monday through Friday.
Okay. And what is the time of that?
It's between 5 and 6 p.m. Pacific time, 6 to 7 Mountain, and 7 to 8 Central, and of course 8 to 9 on the East Coast.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna have to make sure I tune in.
Yeah. This keeps you busy, I'll tell you what.
I know. I'm out of breath just thinking about it, you know. I did Drew's show today, Drew Raines, and we were talking a lot about this deception that's going on. You know, what's sad is so much of this is about money, and the people that are being victimized by this are not generally people after money. You know, money itself is not evil. It's what people do with it, and this insatiable quest to collect more of it, you know, just to control and to have power over others, and so there's not a lot of logic behind something like a flu pandemic. And it's coming out more and more and more that these things have been planned, that they've been planned for a number of years. Well, we know that. Those of us that have looked at the history of these secret societies, we see that these are long-range plans that are carried out over hundreds of years. This is not a new phenomenon, and yet some people are not even grasping what's going on right now. From all the whistleblowing that you've been doing and the bullhorning, if you want to use that term, is there such a phrase? What are you finding out, you know, from your peers and some of your listeners? What are people saying?
Well, there's two camps, as you know. There's the establishment, and that includes all of your Harvard and Ivy League PhDs who just are of the mindset that this so-called pandemic flu is absolutely natural, even though it's been predicted that it would be inevitable to happen since Navarro made the, you know, declarations at the on the UN Council. Well, wait a minute. How do you know such a thing is inevitable? The pandemic that everybody points to in 1918 clearly was not an act of nature. Clearly, it was the result of some contaminated vaccines that were given to the troops going into World War I, the Great War. That was really the heyday of mass forced vaccinations back then. People think that it's vaccination is kind of a new thing. That's not true at all. The 1915s and 1916s, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Rockefeller Laboratories and Rockefeller Institute, that's really where much of the money was made that eventually formed into the American Medical Association and what we know today as the medical establishment. It was, in all reality, was built on the foundation of mass vaccinations. And Don, I keep telling this and saying this and screaming this. We have a book that basically proves everything I'm saying. It was written in the year 1920 and actually presented in a ceremony to President Woodrow Wilson. Why this is not more publicly known, I'll guess with you. But I felt the need to republish this book and put it out. It's called The Horrors of Vaccination by Charles Higgins. Anybody that wants to really know the true history of the flu pandemic of 1918 needs to read this book from cover to cover and understand why what really happened, why this is such a well-kept secret. Obviously, if the world knew the true causes of the millions of deaths, of 1918, I don't think many people would want to take a vaccine any longer. But yet, that is the truth. It's there in the book. I have a saying, I'm sure most people have heard Satignana's philosophy, and he says, well, if we don't learn from the past, we are doomed to repeat it. Well, I add to that, well, how can we learn from the past if we don't even know the history? The history has been so well hidden, the true history, and the history books just don't mention this reality. And I submit that whenever you objectively look this over and realize, what caused this early 1918 catastrophe, we know that the only way that's going to be repeated is by the same mistake of a bad vaccine. And here we're racing headlong into just such a scenario. We have the world being poised for this mass vaccination this fall, and the reality is it's not tested, it's not proven. I think the very least that's going to happen here is mass sterilization of people that they won't be able, the young people especially, 18 to 36, just will not be able to conceive children. Now that's a huge reality, Don.
Yes. Now that seems rather contrary to nature, in essence. I mean, we're given reproductive organs as part of how we were meant to survive, and that someone would determine that they have the right to control that or to put a stop to it is obscene, to say the least.
Yeah, and just this last May, I pulled this article today and read it. The Los Angeles Times, it's a feature story, actually. It explained the so-called Billionaires Club that actually met in London, England, at a Nobel Prize-winning scientist's house. We had all of the heavyweights, billionaires from America and the world actually meeting there. And the report that came out was that it was a plan on how to stop the world's population from blossoming even more. They figured that 6 billion people is more than enough, and unless radical steps were taken, they would see an explosion to 9 to 10 billion people in just another 5 or 6 years. And so the decision was made by these billionaires to basically do some sterilization programs. Now, this is in a mainstream newspaper back in May. Well, how would they do that, Don? How would they do a forced mass sterilization program? Do you think they would announce it in the newspapers? Do you think they would say, by law you have to come in here and get your sterilization shot? And let me just tell you, this is not at all far-fetched. You can go in that, and I'm preparing a paper right now with the research I found. In 1998, a vaccination needle, a vaccination shot, was patented that would guarantee permanent sterilization of a mammalian ovary. Amazing reality. The inventor of this, the patent holder, is actually a veterinary researcher at the University of Georgia, and he successfully has utilized this vaccine shot to sterilize feral wild horses. And he just recently, a couple of years ago, successfully went into the African, South African bush country and in the preserves and actually tested this vaccine on elephants, the largest land mammal on the planet, and was successful. I mean, there was enough this vaccine permanently sterilize the elephants that were overpopulating a certain game preserve. So the laboratory testing has all been done, and you know, it's amazing. The formula is pretty simple according to the patent. You take antigen structure from pigs. There's a specific a recipe for this in the patent. And then you mix it with an adjuvant structure utilizing squalene in the specific ratios. And lo and behold, what we find out with Novartis is that pretty much mimics that sterilization shot. There is no other reason, ladies and gentlemen, you see, for this mass vaccination campaign. We are not in a pandemic World Health Organization level 6. We are not at all. The reality is this weaponized virus that we were so afraid of back last April, that the world was ramping up their fear campaign, has just not materialized to be anything but an inconvenient little rhinovirus, okay? The World Health Organization ramped up to pandemic level 6 solely because, by their own declaration, their computer models had projected 100,000 or so deaths in the Southern Hemisphere during their flu season. Between Australia and Brazil, they predicted a second, more toxic and deadly wave of the flu materializing, which would threaten the whole world, so they had to put us all on to level 6. The reality is, at the end of the flu season this August, Australian and Brazilian reports show that, yeah, the swine flu was verified being there, but it turned out to be so benign that Australia reported that it was one of their mildest flu seasons on record. So the point is, ladies and gentlemen, there's no need for maintenance of this pandemic level 6. Yet it still is maintained. So you have to ask yourself, why? Well, again, look who's behind Novartis, look who's behind the World Health Organization. Pull the curtains away and you see an organization called the Club of Rome. The Club of Rome has long, since 1970s, been an advocate for population reduction and sterilization. Again, how are they going to implement a program of sterilization? Ask yourself that. The only way they could do that is to do it by a mass vaccination program, a covert one at that. The timing is all there. You have the world's billionaires meeting and actually coming to a consensus to do a sterilization program. This is in last May.
This is insanity.
Well, it's criminal. But you know, you look back at the mindset. Look back into the 1920s and 30s with the eugenics movement. You look at all of the wealthy families of this globe, and they honestly believe that they are doing the earth a good thing. They honestly believe in their hearts that sterilization is a prescribed formula for keeping, you know, the planet from warming too rapidly and destroying the whole ecosystems. And so this is their plan. And again, the mainstream press has reported on this. It's no secret. Yet the question becomes, how do they implement a mass sterilization program?
Yes.
I think now, there's no other way to do it.
Yes, and there is no need for it. We could take all the people on the earth and put them in the land mass of Australia and still have room left over to play horseshoes.
Right.
These things that they feed us constantly, these mantras that we're running out of this and we're running out of that and there's no more room. You know, it was back in the mid-1980s that the Bureau of Land Management, Federal Bureau, owned 40% of all the the free open lands on the western end of the United States.
Right.
And they've been acquiring land ever since, not to mention what goes on with all this real estate corruption and the money laundering. I'm reminded about Charles Higgins' book, Horrors of Vaccination Exposed. On page 87, there's a picture of a two-month-old baby that died after having been vaccinated. And he's described as having received the fatal vaccination known as generalized vaccinia, where the vaccine sore spreads throughout the body and developing into pustules, very much like smallpox, and eventually the victim dies of a pus infection and septicemia. So that in and of itself, seeing a picture like that, is enough reason not to take a vaccine.
Right.
Regardless of the consequences. I think, you take it and regardless of what's going to happen to you, you're going to become either very sick, very sterile, and Lord knows what else. I mean, there's a lot that hasn't come out yet, I'm feeling, especially if they're manufacturing these vaccines right now and haven't even tried them on anyone.
Well, the big lie that's coming out now, and this really makes my blood boil. They're actually trying to convince people that there is no difference between this vaccine and your seasonal flu vaccine that people have become so accustomed to taking every year. Folks, there's lies and then there's damned lies, and that's a damn lie. There is a huge amount of difference between this and their seasonal flu vaccine.
Well, I didn't get a flu vaccine last year or any other season, and I haven't died from the flu, so where's the danger?
Yeah. Well, and, you know, you're talking about attenuated viruses versus the antigen itself, which is typically in a seasonal flu vaccine. The difference with that, folks, is attenuated viruses are live viruses that can mutate and cause a much worse disease than the virus itself, okay? Because it can, just a few little changes in the amino acid and protein structures of the vaccine virus, and you can get a much, much deadlier version of the virus itself. And secondly, there is no adjuvant or squalene in the seasonal flu vaccine. Now, again, going back to the sterilization vaccine patent that we talked about, that's the key substance in the sterilization vaccine is squalene in suspension. And it's just the ratios that are there along with the antigen of the porcine, the pig, viral glycoproteins. And, you know, it just jumps off the page. This is a sterilization vaccine.
Yes.
And I don't know how else to say it.
Well, I mean, this is just one issue, too. There are people that are going to have adverse reactions. speaking about adverse reactions, I heard a report today that a scientist, I think at a lab up in Minnesota, was doing some work with some extremely dangerous Ebola virus and died within a matter of hours after having scratched himself and having been exposed to this.
Right. And how many other people did he possibly expose after that? There were so many of these biocontainment facilities cropping up across the country. It's obscene. And they're doing all of this research into these viral pathogens, again, to try and corner another vaccine structure and make billions of dollars in royalties. You know, when is enough enough, Don? I mean, this is insanity.
Yes. Yes, and it's psychopathic as well. I mean, it goes beyond it goes beyond just being mentally ill. We had a listener a few nights ago, last week actually, chime in on a chat message just saying that we should round all of them up and give them the vaccine and themselves, let them be the guinea pigs. And just, you know, be accountable for all this. If it's such an important thing, you know, why are they all saying, well, they're not going to take it? It's quite obvious what's going on. What is it going to take to wake people up?
Yeah. Well, again, you've got a blanket immunity from these, from lawsuits for any kind of damages. Now, that had to be in place before anybody would start talking about producing these vaccines on a large scale. Well, my question is, why do you need blanket immunity from lawsuit and from liability if this thing is so blessed safe? You see, if it's just a harmless little seasonal flu vaccine, why get blanket immunity for damages? And in the circular, the instruction and ingredients list on Novartis's pandemic virus vaccine, there's some interesting language. It admits there that this is a different vaccine that has not been tested, but then again, the myth and the lie goes out that it's the same basic manufacturing process as their seasonal flu, which is absolutely false based on the CDC's own and the FDA's own publications. They're saying that this to get a 200-300 million vaccine doses is prepared in just 2 months, they had to forego the normal process of incubation in eggs, and they allowed them to put live attenuated viruses in basically pig tissue, monkey tissue, and develop it that way versus, you know, many months of incubation in a sterile egg structure. So right there, that's absolutely false, and they're circular. And then so to pawn off the risk of side effects and those type of things, they just basically show the seasonal flu vaccines studies over the years, because they're trying to make everybody believe, every doctor that dispenses this belief, that, oh, it's just as safe as anything we've ever done. And while in reality it's absolutely far from that. But in paragraph 8.1 of the circular, it actually makes, there's two very interesting statements there about pregnant women. Why these sentences we put into this context makes me really wonder. It said that there has been no animal testing for sterility, basically. What does that mean? I pulled the other seasonal influenza viruses, and there's no statement like that in any of them for seasonal flu. Well, why would they say this has not been tested on animals for sterility?
Well, you know, there's something missing in the logic of all this. If I can just pause for a moment here and think this through. They've had these annual flu vaccinations that primarily senior citizens and those at great risk of getting the flu were getting every year. Now, how is it that this flu just keeps regenerating? Let's say, and I'm using the argument that this is caused by nature, just to play their side, the devil's advocate. It would seem that if the vaccine prevents the disease from spreading, eventually the disease has to die out, does it not?
Well, that's if vaccines were 100% effective, yeah.
Yeah, I'm playing the devil's advocate here and saying, you know, if that's the case, then why do they have to keep making new vaccines, and why do they keep modifying them?
Right.
See, there's a lot that we're not being told about what's actually going on. That these are, in fact, created in laboratories, and they're intended to be unleashed upon the public, with or without their knowledge. I think, in this case, they're using a lot of misdirection because of other factors that are going on around the world, particularly the massive financial corruption on Wall Street, in the Federal Reserve, in the Treasury, in the government, and all the government programs, and in the political machines, and in the all the bureaucracies of the government. The corruption is just it's that they need a vaccine for that. To put it bluntly,
yeah, you know, it's this. If you study the economy and economics in general, you know that if you have a phony fiat currency that's just basically on the goodwill and faith of the people and the stamps and seal of approval of the government, that this piece of paper's got intrinsic value, you just print more and more of them up and expand the economy in that way. And each Federal Reserve note, as you know, Don, is a debt instrument. It's a note payable. So as you keep expanding debt, the debt cycles, more and more people borrow. Corporate credit is easy to obtain. What happens is the economy expands and everybody's standard of living is astronomically high. Billionaires are made. Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, the other icons have just become fabulously wealthy. And so they have a rate of consumption that is far beyond anything that we could ever imagine, that we the people can ever imagine. But you see, the reality is, unless a eugenics program is adopted and or forced sterilization, they cannot maintain their level unless there's a reshuffling of the debt completely. That's the reality of economics since the days of the Roman Empire. A fiat currency, sooner or later, the bubble will burst. Now,
yes.
When that bubble burst happens, you better have a way to control population growth. You better have a way to cull the human herd, or you won't be able to maintain your standard of living, if you're a billionaire. That's the reality, Don.
Well, yeah. Then they have fallen prey to their own devices, have they not?
Unless they can keep and hold of the actual resources of planet Earth, and this is what this is all about. Your real wealth, the gold, the silver, the oil, the water, the natural resources of the planet need to be consolidated in the hands of a few, not just fiat currency. So to do that, that's where the eugenics program enters into the picture, you see.
Yeah, somehow they fail to recognize that eventually they're the only ones that are going to be sitting around with all this money, all this wealth, all this power, and no one to exert it over.
Yeah, at some point, you see, the digits and the widgets in your bank account mean nothing. You got to have real estate assets, hardcore assets, and that means taking them away from the people itself. To do that, you've got to cause the people to no longer be around. Now, ultimately, that's the reality of a fiat, a debt-based currency.
Yeah, I understand that totally. I'm just thinking of the insanity in terms of the big picture, the influence on the rest of the universe. You know, and
yeah, absolutely. It's the most heinous and selfish act of a Satanist agenda that there is on this planet. And again, we can talk about this for weeks, but it goes back to a deep spiritual battle with universal implications. I mean, universe, multiple
yes.
galaxies implications.
Yes, and something tells me that that there are, well, not something tells me, I know without a doubt that there are many, many powers, well beyond those that this group thinks they have, that can quell any rebellion against the rest of the universe. I mean,
well,
they don't stand a chance. In fact, we still have a chance here on this earth to put a stop to all of this.
You know, I ran a 20-lane bowling center. I owned it for over 15 years, and it's, you know, I don't know how much you know about bowling centers and automatic pin setters, but, you know, the Brunswick machines that we worked on are just an amazing engineering marvel, because, you know, they're all driven by a kind of a chain reaction. Remember that old mouse trap game?
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, one little thing that causes all these chain reactions to happen. Well, the bowling ball goes down and hits the back curtain, triggers the gears to start all their machinations, and they just work in unison. But here's the point. If one little insignificant cog in one of those gear ratios or pulleys becomes broken off, the whole darn thing runs out and runs, go crazy, and big, massive breakdowns occur. The smallest link is vitally important to the whole machinery. Now Earth is just a speck in the universe, series of intelligences. But it's a very important speck. Just like a little, cog in the wheel of a pin setting machine. What happens to the Earth affects the whole, wheel of structure of the universe. It really does. So while there are intelligences that see what's going on in this little orb floating around in the universe, and while they don't like to be, they really can't interfere, but they sure as heaven's sakes don't like what they're seeing.
No, neither does God,
right.
the Creator. Neither does the Creator. And I think that is an inescapable outcome to whatever goes on, good or bad.
Right.
Everything is seen, everything is known, even before it's done, even before it's planned.
You know, I got to tell you also, a friend of mine gave me quite a large, thick book on the books of antiquity that were voted out, basically, by the Council of Nicaea, and forming the current volume we know as the Bible. Bible just literally means a collection of books. Well, the Council of Nicaea, here's your group of powerful Catholic priests, they decided what they felt should go into this volume and what shouldn't be. Well, there's a book called the Book of Jasher that's an amazing read, because it talks about experiments well before, you know, the first man, Adam. There were other generations of humanoids on this planet, according to Jasher. And God, the Creator, was very upset because they were genetically manipulating things back then, and they actually crossed the genes of the wild boar, the forest boar with the big long tusks, with human DNA. And guess what comes out of that genetic experiment? The modern day pig and the pork barrel and the feeding trough. but you know, see, this is the reason, ladies and gentlemen, why we have the Jewish traditions of kosher meats. We have the Islamic and Jewish tradition of pork being taboo to consume, because God forbid the use of eating of pork, because it was very much a form of cannibalism. The DNA of the pig is so close to human genetics, it's very much in the old books, hidden books, lost books of the Bible, a commandment against eating your own flesh of cannibalism. So this is where these traditions come from, ladies and gentlemen. It's not There's reasons behind these myths, okay, these long-lost traditions. And that's one of the main reasons there. And so we see these viruses now, the so-called swine flu viruses. Well, you know, they're actually being genetically modified, just like your seeds are now being GMO modified. And these this whole new generation of designer viruses are designed for specific socioeconomic agendas. There's no doubt about that.
Yes. Now, you mentioned the book of Jasher, or some would say Yasher. That was one of the Apocrypha. And there were many, many universal truths in those books. And, of course, they were left out specifically to dumb us down about the spiritual side of man. And you know, these scientific truths and to contemplate that something contradicts the grand opening of mankind coming to the earth. Of course, all this hidden history serves no real purpose other than to dumb us down, does it?
I mean, that goes back to the reality during the Dark Ages, the so-called Dark Ages, the Middle Ages. The peasant class, the working class, just they weren't literate. And it was a capital crime for the nobility to basically teach the peasantry how to read and write and study. And so, yeah, it's very much a class structure then, and it's not much different now, really. The illiteracy rate, of course, is gone way down. But what good does it do to read if you don't do nothing but reading Twilight and vampire stories?
Mm-hmm.
You don't really go into the esoteric hidden knowledge of the universe.
Yes.
That's kept always for the elite few.
Yes, and yet those books are out there and they are available. If one looks, one can find them on the internet. And it pays to read several versions of it because even those have been tampered with to some extent.
Yeah, I just picked up Dan Brown's latest novel, The Lost Symbol. You know, he's pushing the envelope on this one. I tell you what, he's pushing the envelope.
Do you care to expound upon that a little bit?
Well, you know, he set the stage basically with the Da Vinci Code and this and that, but now he's really going into the inner workings of the Masonic Temple in Washington, D.C. Absolutely factual information coming out of this latest book. And, you know, he was warned, I understand, warned deeply not to publish this one. But I was just waiting with bated breath to get my copy, and I'm enjoying it. It's quite a novel, and it's absolutely factual.
By the way, you reminded me that I was supposed to read three books before tonight's show of yours, but it got lost by the wayside with all the excitement of what was going on lately.
Well,
so
you're forgiven. You're forgiven.
I'm forgiven.
You're forgiven.
Thank you.
We'll blame it on Don. He's up there laughing at us anyway.
He probably is anyway, whether I say that or not. let's talk about some solutions now in our remaining moments here on the show tonight. Going back to this flu thing, we're hearing rumors that certain states are setting up roadblocks. They're going to be chipping people or giving people bracelets or, you know, forcing these vaccinations under a penalty of incarceration or a concentration camp, what they like to call a re-education camp. I mean, if they got the school thing right in the beginning, they wouldn't have to re-educate us, would they?
Right.
it's not funny what's going on, and yet it seems to be that from state to state, there's either an awareness of what's going on or people are totally clueless.
Well, Don, I really don't personally see this materializing, at least this year. I'll tell you why. There's got to be some more steps and ingredients put into this thing first. The pandemic has got to be a lot more deadly, first of all. The state people, at least the ones I've talked with, there's really, you know, they're taking it like a seasonal flu vaccine right now, because there is not the death toll. Now, that's not to say that this can't change rapidly, okay? I was just really disgusted to read the CDC report that they're literally now putting H5N1, the 2004 strain from Vietnam of H5N1 human specific, a deadly virus.
This is bird flu now, right?
Yeah, the bird flu. Yeah. The deadliest version. I mean, this is the stuff that's killing 65% of the people that contract it. They're actually putting it in with the H1N1/H5N1/H3N2 pandemic flu to see if it would what kind of lethality it would cause. And they're reporting this at the CDC. They're consciously putting this together. Hello, that's exactly what happened in Austria, and this last February, the story broke on 27th of February by the Canadian Free Press. The Czech Republic was outraged. Seasonal flu vaccine, ladies and gentlemen, manufactured under Baxter label, but actually put together, no doubt, by another company, a much larger company, was contaminated with H5N1 lethal strains. And this seasonal flu vaccine was just wasn't required to, but the lab just injected some test ferrets, and they all, boom, kill over dead immediately. This contaminated batch of seasonal flu vaccine was scheduled to go into, you know, 500,000 to 1,000,000 people. And we're told that they stopped it. But you have to wonder how this happened. You know, this is the whole information that was released to Jane Burgermeister in Austria, and what Jane got so adamantly upset about it, and she's right. You know, she was right to get so upset about it. But that was caught. It's been stopped. The point that I'm making with all this, to file criminal charges on this this type of thing in America is just not realistic. It's not normal, not natural. Okay, we have to be alert and stop the vaccine itself. But filing criminal charges against a sitting president, making claims of doing so, just is not rational or logical.
No, you'd have to somehow connect that with a teleprompter to make that stretch.
we talked about this on RBN. My guest Joanne Kramer did a great job, and you know the point is, we just got to stop. Just request people not send any more money to this cause in Austria. Not when there's people like Ingrid Cassell and Vac Lib, who desperately need some funds right now for a very good cause. Like you said, Joanne Kramer has a 7,000 member Facebook account. What would happen if 7,000 people sent $10? You know, that thing would just about go away for Ingra.
Mm-hmm.
This is what, you know, what we're asking people to rally behind. Make the cause something that's worthwhile. And I guarantee you, Ingra Cassell has done more work in a month than this person in over there in Austria has done in years for the cause of freedom.
Oh, yeah, and she's going to continue that work, too. It certainly would enable her to focus more on that as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know,
she's going to have to hire 10 people to take the place of Don, as we've already said a couple of times. But and not that there's no one incompetent. That's not the point. Don ran a tight ship, and he was very productive and very creative and had it down. He was in his 13th year of publishing this newspaper.
More than that, he loved what he did, and he was very talented at what he did.
Yes.
You know, he knew how to turn a phrase, and he knew how to make it real, make it explainable. And that, you know, a talent like that just cannot be replaced.
Yes. I've had some of our listeners and people that visit my site, people that follow my research and become interested in many of the guests like yourself. Ken Adachi and I have done a number of stories on chemtrails, and people are noticing some changes in the chemtrails. I noticed recently that there seems to be a different kind of spraying going on.
Uh-huh.
And what I mean by that is you don't see these horizon-to-horizon patterns. You see the X's. You see short bursts of these plumes. And I'm wondering if you've come across anything in your research on these patents and all the variants and the applications that are described, if there is anything underway or planned to go underway as far as spreading this aerially. And I'm speaking about the virus, of course, not the vaccine.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, the problem you have, Don, is viruses just don't have a very long half-life in an aerosol spray.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? As soon as they're hit by sunlight and that, they're pretty much gone and toast. That's why the only real way to spread a pandemic is really, there's kind of two ways. To put it into the nasal passages of children, which is what MedImmune is going to do with this live virus spray, the flu mist spray. And this is, you got all these children shedding viruses for up to 2 to 3 weeks, shedding live viruses everywhere they go.
Mm-hmm.
That's a surefire way of spreading a virus. And I'm much more worried about that than the possibility of aerosol, no matter how concentrated it may be. But looking at the research I've done on leukemia, in the case of Don, you find that barium radiation is a key component of that type of leukemia. Barium is one of the known constituencies of the chemtrails.
Yes.
Barium and an aluminum phosphate structure. So, yeah, there's. I think there may be something tied to that as well.
Yes, I think. Well, you know, certainly we'll keep tabs on that. Now, in the meantime, what can people do? And we've discussed this on other shows, but we've always got new listeners, and some people fall asleep somewhere during the show this late at night. What can people do to strengthen their immune system and just, you know, keep themselves, certainly a lack of worry contributes to one's sound health and just the fear factor being removed. If people know that they can consume certain types of foods and with a certain type of regularity, you know, what would you recommend that they do as a normal regimen?
Well, there's the whole naturopathic worldview is just simply to keep the body and the individual cells in homeopathic balance. And to do that, you know, you need to have a low stress level for a number of reasons. Stress hormones tend to cause the red blood cells of the body to not carry oxygen as efficiently. when you start dropping your oxygen counts, you start having problems sleeping. Deep REM sleep becomes more and more of a problem. And then your stem cells, your bone marrow generated stem cells aren't as effective. If you're not getting 4 to 5 hours of deep REM, rapid eye movement sleep, you can bet you're going to start degenerating a lot faster and be a candidate for all kinds of problems. So, you know, the influenza virus in a normal scenario, Don, is just opportunistic. You can pick it up anywhere, but if you're healthy and strong, with a, you know, a good healthy outlook and balance in yourself, it's going to be a very slight inconvenience, if nothing else. And so there's no reason to fear it. Viruses themselves, if you look at it scientifically, they're just nothing but a basic amino acid and protein complex that has a specific DNA helix structure. Well, you know, proteins and amino acid chains, they just dissolve like cotton candy in your mouth if you have good oxygenation going on in your bloodstream.
Mm-hmm.
There's a product called Oxygen Treatment and Therapy that's showing it's going through, I understand, double-blind studies right now. It's going to be scientifically shown and perhaps even, you know, receive stamp of approval as a recommended supplement. I don't know if the FDA will ever allow it to be marketed as a drug per se, but this is being done in Oklahoma. It's an ongoing 3-month study studying what oxygen can do in the body for all types of critical blood markers and testing in the body. Now, I gave some of this to a lady who called into the show. She happened to be right here in my hometown, but Doug Kaufman and Know the Cause is actually doing some work on this with a friend of mine there in Oklahoma and in Texas. Well, this lady was suffering, she thought, from pneumonia, so she wanted to see. She tried everything that she could, and she was getting worse and worse. So she took some of this product for a couple of days and felt better, but still had problems breathing. And actually came to visit me at my office, and I sent her right in to a chiropractor because it didn't seem like it was a viral or bacterial pneumonia. She said she got hit by a dog that jumped on her back and knocked the wind out of her, and she had a lot of pain. I thought, well, she probably needs a chiropractic adjustment to get that back. And well, the chiropractor took X-rays and sent her right immediately to the emergency room because both lungs were filled with fluid, and they did an emergency procedure where they, of course, went in to drain the fluid. Now, when your lungs are that full of fluid, you're not going to be processing oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they took the X-rays and then got her in the emergency room and got her prepped for this procedure, they immediately put on a pulse oximeter machine and were shocked to find her blood oxygen was in the 90 percentile. Typically, what becomes life-threatening is because if you can't process oxygen, your heart and your brain starts to become so stressed out they just stop working.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you die from fluid-filled lung. They were shocked to find that the blood oxygen was normal ranges. So was the chiropractor and so were the attending physicians in the emergency room. But she came back afterwards and told me that, you know, golly, this stuff there was no viral problem, there was no bacterial pneumonia, but it likely saved her life because she was on it for 2 weeks and she should have been dead, they said. Anyway, This product is available. It's the website is www.restandrepair.tv, and I highly recommend that product. Is the oxygen treatment and therapy. Also, they have a great amino acid based product called Invigorest. That, you know, again, it's so important to have a good night's sleep, but don't go out there and take some prescription drugs to get that, because chemicals are not the answer, to make you sleepy. That's, again, a chemical base. That's not going to help long-term at all either. The secret is to balance out the amino acid chains and that, so your body can produce the sleep hormones naturally. Those are some of the ideas, Don. Restandrepair.tv. Richard Allison is the gentleman that's marketing these products and doing a good job.
Yes. Okay. Any website information you want to give out for yourself before we call it a night here?
Well, I don't really have a website dedicated to this subject. I've had a lot of people. Ken Adachi is doing a posting of my papers, but also there's a pandemicfluonline.com. That's kind of just a clearinghouse breaking information and stories, and the community toolbox there will give you some real strong ammunition for, first of all, educating yourself and finding out why you should be concerned or in some cases not concerned about this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's another, that's basically where people need to go to get the information. Joanne Kramer's busy preparing her own, one-stop shop as well, and she's doing a great job. She really is just tireless yeoman working on this and doing what I think is a tremendous job with that.
But yeah, now that she's escaped all the vitriolic emails,
right.
She's got a bit more time.
Good point.
I've also been posting your articles, your recent ones that you've been sending me. So keep them coming. They're on my website as well for anyone.
Well, this latest
wants.
One where we connect the dots on the sterilization is going to be the coup de grace, because I really don't, why would anybody want to kill off, 5 billion people? That sounds really out there. And even though that's part of the agenda, it's not, they don't want to do it all at once, one fell swoop. No. I think I see it in steps. The first step is to basically, do a sterilization campaign. And, I see that's really what the agenda is.
Yeah, it's been sort of a potpourri of, isn't that what alchemy is all about? It's they can't even seem to settle on what they prefer to do first,
Right.
Of course.
I just wouldn't invest in baby food or Pampers for a while with this coming out. Think about it, Putting pregnant women at the front of the line when the circular itself says that pregnant women should not be advised to get this thing, because they just don't really know what would happen with the fetus potentially being aborted. Golly, there's just so many things in this circular that how in the world can doctors with a good conscience give this peddled stuff out there? Blows me away.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for being on the show, Drew, and I look forward to your next visit on Evident Footprints. It's sad that we have to meet at a time like this, under these conditions, but then again, your work sort of shocks us back into the reality of what the world's problems are right now, and your work is much appreciated and honored by many out there, and I wish you continuing success and safety as well.
Same to you, Don, and same with your research. It's vitally important, and I'm keeping going just the memory of Don Harkins, and and the good friend that he was, and the support will be sorely missed. But we owe him a debt to keep this thing going and keep doing the research. And again, thank you for having me on, and we'll have to reciprocate and have you on the story behind the story. I'm sure they've got some breaking news as well.
Well, I'd be honored anytime. Just give me a call or shoot me an email, either one.
Thank you. Thank you, my friend. Have a good evening.
Okay, you too. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com, and our special guest this evening, Dr. A. True Ott, ND. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network for hanging in there. I understand you lost the signal for a while. And those of you out there that were able to assist in keeping us online in different parts of the world, Robert and whoever else may have been helping out, we appreciate that. Robert's, and I think Chuck in Australia. So we've got Bobby's husband, Robert, to thank, and Chuck for keeping us online. Special thanks go to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Tomorrow night, my special guest was scheduled, Mr. Don Harkins, and he won't be with us. I'm not sure that I'm going to have a guest on, but I'm certain I'll have many important things to say, so be sure to tune in. In the meantime, I wish everyone out there in the listening audience a night filled with peace, love, and light. And have a good night.